This is Montana Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Edward O'Brien with Montana Morning News. Glacier National Park's St. Mary Visitor Center reopens this morning. Fire officials say the Reynolds Creek Fire now stands at over 3,200 acres with 30% containment. The Going to the Sun Road will remain closed from the St. Mary Visitor Center to Big Bend on the west side of the divide. That's about 18 miles. The St. Mary Campground, the Rising Sun Motor Inn, the Rising Sun Campground, and Logan Pass are not quite yet open to the public. The St. Mary Visitor Center at the east entrance to Glacier National Park reopened this morning. The Visitor Center closes this evening at 6. Park Superintendent Jeff Mao spoke yesterday at the community building in West Glacier.
You know, there really is never a good time to have an event like this. Events like these, they're very disruptive to our lives, your businesses, our visitors. And so, needless to say, our desire is to resolve these sorts of things. You know, it's adding stress at a very stressful time already. It's the busiest time of the year for all of us. So,
Mao says the Reynolds fire is a big deal, but is only affecting a tiny part of the park.
Yeah, it's definitely having an impact, and doesn't surprise me at all. You know, I have personal friends that are coming to visit. Should we come? Well, sure you should come. I mean, it's, the amount of park that's being affected by this is very small.
Park officials say they're working closely with Incident Commander Greg Ponson's management team to resume some semblance of normalcy as quickly as possible.
When I say normalcy, it's certainly not going to be normal operations as we knew it before the fire started. We will try to sort of resume things as best manner as we could, but there's no question that there's going to be trails or trailheads or other facilities that may not be accessible for the rest of the season.
Mountain and fire officials say Going to the Sun Road is still in good condition and has not been damaged by the fire. For decades, forest rangers in wooden towers across the West scanned the horizon with binoculars for smoke that could signal the start of a wildfire. Now, scientists in Nevada and California are helping federal land managers develop technology to expand a network of high-definition cameras to do the job, including one in northern Nevada that recently captured a blaze in real time more than 100 miles away in Oregon. The latest project led by the Nevada Seismology Laboratory began 2 years ago at Lake Tahoe in conjunction with the Forest Service and other local agencies. In recent weeks, the Bureau of Land Management has mounted 4 cameras, on remote mountain peaks stretching from central to northeast Nevada, about 100 miles from the Utah line. The goal is to detect fires faster, especially in unpopulated areas where they can burn several hours or even days before anyone reports them. The cameras with pan, tilt, and zoom capability provide a 360-degree panoramic view with infrared night vision and specialized software to track smoke. A man serving a 70-year prison sentence for killing a German exchange student in his garage is surrendering all his guns to settle a lawsuit filed by the victim's family. Marcus Karma and the parents of 17-year-old Diren Dede reached an out-of-court settlement earlier this month. Besides the guns, the family will also get an undisclosed amount of money. A California woman is going to prison for nearly 5 years because of false claims about a data storage project in Darby. Authorities say Erica Ray Brown obtained a $4 million loan for the project using false documents and spent the money on items including a beach house and Rolex watches. State regulators are considering whether to approve for the second time in just over 5 years construction through South Dakota of the long-delayed Keystone XL oil pipeline, but it's unlikely a decision will come immediately. The Public Utilities Commission hearing process starts today. South Dakota authorized TransCanada Corporation's project in 2010, but permits must be revisited if construction doesn't start within 4 years. Dozens of Montana grandparents have organized to push back against a state agency they say has shut them out as caregivers and sometimes has placed grandchildren with parents they don't know. A network of 24 grandparents has staged protests, told their stories to lawmakers, and enlisted at least one former legislator to lobby state officials on their behalf. A Montana Child and Family Services spokeswoman insists that the agency complies with state policy. More than 250,000 sockeye salmon returning from the ocean to spawn are either dead or dying in the Columbia River and its tributaries due to warming water temperatures. Federal and state fisheries biologists say water that's 5 to 6 degrees warmer is wiping out at least half of this year's returning population of the cold water species. Richie Graves of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says up to 80% of the population could ultimately perish. Officials are trying to cool flows by releasing cold water from selected reservoirs. Experts say drought and record heat this summer are behind the high water temperatures. 13 species of salmon and steelhead are listed as endangered or threatened in the Columbia River Basin. Thanks for listening. For Montana Headline News, I'm Edward O'Brien.